Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to think that God would meet with us here in this humble place, as mightily as He would meet in a coliseum with 30,000 people gathered, is absolutely mind-blowing. It makes a difference to people, but the Bible is very clear that it makes no difference to God. And the actual scripture said it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. And that's why Jonathan and an armor bearer initiated and became the vanguard of a victory for the nation of Israel when two men stood on the covenant and God said, you know, I'll honor these two that are in agreement. I'll honor that. You can have 30,000 people and not have a move of God, and you can have 30 and have a move of God, and you can even have less than 30 and have a move of God. You can have two and have a move of God. Isn't that incredible? That God says, you know, I'm no respecter of persons, and it makes no difference to me to save by many or by few. It doesn't matter to God. I will say this. When He saves by few, He gets greater glory. Amen. A poor boy's lunch brought a lot more glory to God when it was multiplied than if someone who owned some kind of catering service came out and, you know, we can serve a bunch of folk, but we're going to have about 50 people we can't. And maybe if God will add His supernatural to our natural, we can cover the other 50. That would be a good and wonderful thing. But God said, you know, I'll take a brown bag lunch from a poor boy. They feel like the fish he had were something about the size of that we would think of as sardines. This was a little boy's lunch, some coarse bread and a few little fishes. It's just enough for his lunch, folks. That's all. Amen. But he gave it to Jesus. Jesus broke it, blessed it, and fed a multitude with it. And what honor it brought God. Because of that, the magnitude of that miracle outshines a lot of the other stuff, because there was so little given to him to work with, and yet he took it and blessed it, and look what he did with it. So we're just so grateful tonight to have a God that said, you know, if two or more come together in my name, I will be there in the midst of them. And when those two, Jonathan and his armor bearer, amen, came into a spiritual agreement, stood on the covenant, God was in the midst, just like he promised that he would be. And God in the midst constituted a grand victory for the nation of Israel. That's all it takes, is to let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? We love you. We're glad you're here tonight. Glad you saved that last song, because that's one of my favorites. Amen. I have often been intrigued with the invitation that I have to come behind the veil to worship God. Amen. That's why I don't just like to go to church and be entertained. It's okay. There's a place for it. There's wonderful concerts that are given strictly for the entertainment value. And Christians, when you're talking about heaven, singing about heaven, or even singing about Him, I love that kind of Christian entertainment. But worship is coming behind the veil into the distinct, direct presence of God and offering your personal praises to Him. That's why it's called true worship. Amen. And God seeketh such. He seeks people that will come behind the veil, that will accept His invitation to come behind the veil and come into His presence and worship Him. The wonderful thing about coming into His presence is, in His presence, there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Praise God. So He wants to bless us when we determine to truly bless Him. Amen. We love you. Thank you for saving that song. Was that the last one you were saving for me? All right, I got here, and I'm glad you saved it, because I didn't want you to sing that without me. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. You're singing good tonight. We're glad you're here for Sunday evening Bible study. And rather than start a new study, we're going to continue from this morning's study, and therefore we won't have to warm up to it. We're already, those of you that were here this morning are warmed up to it. I will say a few things, and do you have that same disc that we had? Maybe number 4, I don't think we got there. If we did, we'll do that again, but I think number 4 may take us somewhere else on that disc for this evening's closing. And then let it just run, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles once again tonight, I want you to turn with me in the Old Testament to Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. And this subject that we're dealing with is blessed to bring glory to God. It's a simple title because, and I want to say this again tonight, I want to keep giving this statement before we talk about blessings. There are some people so obsessed with the blessings of the Lord, they have missed the blesser altogether. And they're missing the kingdom in the process of that. And what a tragedy it is to not know the joy, just the joy of God's presence. If we had nothing else offered us, the joy of His presence, the promise that He will never leave us, the fact that there's fullness of joy just in His presence, no matter what condition you're in. Just getting into the presence of God can bring joy to your life. But God says beyond that, God has always been a God that blessed His people. When there was a victory over an enemy of His people, He gave them a special breakthrough somehow by sending an angel, raising up a champion, by giving them a battle plan and anointing them for battle. But He gave them victory, and it was a blessing from the Lord. In the time of famine, He said, you know, if you get into a drought situation, you get into a time when the earth is not yielding her increase, and you make your prayer toward this place, and you honor Me, and the ark is in its rightful place, and you're in your rightful place as covenant people, you make your prayer toward this place, and the blessing is going to be evidence, because that I'm going to send you gentle rains upon your crops. It's going to saturate your ground. It's going to make that ground bring forth into bud. I'm going to alter the normal course of nature. It doesn't matter to Him about El Nino. Amen. Let me tell you this tonight. El Shaddai doesn't care about what El Nino does. So if the oceans heat up and it changes the weather patterns, He is in ultimate control. And when He determines a blessing, He actually says there are situations where He will command the blessing. And that's commanded, can you say, man? And blessing is not just how much wealth you acquire, but it's having God provide for everything you truly need. Amen. Isn't that really what blessing is about? Is God providing everything that you truly need? Amen. Some people think they need wealth and opulence. You really don't. You need food and raiment. And God's peace and God's joy and God's satisfaction and God's fulfillment. That's what you really need. Because if you have that, you don't need anything. He may give you other stuff, but it won't be because you feel like you're missing something. Amen. There are missionaries that have preached and into foreign fields, and I've got to go in a couple, one in Haiti, one in Jamaica, and just going to a third world country and seeing those people so thankful for so little and being so grateful to God and feeling so extraordinarily blessed for what they have. And then coming back to America and seeing people with so many times more what they have and not realizing how blessed they truly are. There's a blessing of health that Bill Gates can't buy with his billions. Can you say, man? What a blessing it is to... We used to sing the song. I got up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And there was another song. I got up this morning in my right mind. How did that song go anyway? Something about getting up in your right mind. Amen. If you got up this morning in your right mind, you're blessed today. Amen. There are people, my mother has dementia right now. She don't know who's alive. She don't know if her mama's alive from week to week, if her daddy's still alive, that have been dead for years, if my stepdad is still alive or not, if her sister who's been dead for many years, she don't know if she's alive. And so she's filled with that confusion. And what a blessing it is to be able to be in your right frame of mind. And just there's so many blessings around us that we miss sometimes. But God wants us to be representative of a people who not only obtain blessings, but recognize them and give Him glory and give Him honor in everything. The Bible literally said, in order for His name to be blessed, that we're to, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can you say amen? It's so vital. God wants to bless us so that His name may be glorified. Say that with me tonight. God wants to bless us so that His name might be glorified. Amen. He wants to mark us, as one writer said, with blessing. And do you have your Bible open? Do you have that statement from your study Bible? Would you like to read that about this psalm so people can hear it if I bring you the microphone? Just the kind of, you know, the something there underneath the psalm. Yeah, that one. That's it. Praise God.
Okay, well, Brother Benford was preaching this. The first verse, says, God be merciful unto us, bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. And this is Jimmy Swaggart's study Bible. The shining of God's face upon us is one of the most beautiful passages found in the Bible. It signifies the blessings of God the people in question.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody say he makes his face to shine upon us. Praise God. He smiles upon us. We have his favor. And it is one of the most precious blessings and promises from the Lord. The blessing, not what the blessing gives us first, but the blessing itself, having God's favor itself. Can you say, remember when the ark was brought back? They didn't bring it all the way home. They left it at a man's house. And what did they hear about that man? How did they figure out the ark is there? Because extraordinary blessings were upon that house where he had taken it in and honored it as holy. Amen. Before it was back in the temple, it was bringing blessing to one of the covenant children of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And they said, man, we got to get that thing and bring it back to its rightful place. But blessings were there. Blessings were upon Israel. Blessings were, they were literally marked with blessings so that they could say, who has a God like our God? Why? Because he blessed them in battle. He blessed them when there was a drought. He blessed them when there was trouble in the land. He always showed up. He came on the scene to bless his people. Amen. And there are so many people just pursuing the blessing aspect of God instead of the kingdom. We almost don't even want to go there. But if we don't go there, we're going to miss the blessing. And we can't bring glory to his name unless we're marked with his blessing somehow. We need his blessing in America, and we need his blessing in our homes. Our children need his blessing. Can you say amen? We bring our children to be prayed over that what? That the blessing of the Lord may rest upon their life. Dads blessed their children in those days. They had the authority to actually speak a blessing over their children. And the firstborn child got a double portion of the inheritance and a great blessing. Ephraim was the firstborn, and they compromised their covenant commitment to God, and they lost the blessing that was theirs. They were a double portion people. But the Bible said, unstable as water, they would not excel, in spite of the fact that they had access to the blessing of the Lord. Because of their instability in terms of their commitment to God, they would not excel. And I'm afraid there's too many people just seeking blessing without seeking the kingdom and the lordship of Jesus and following God in obedience. But I'm telling you, there's also some people that have distanced themselves from the blessing message to where God's name is not glorified through our lives, and he wants it to be glorified. If I come in here defeated and the enemy reigning over me, there's no way I can preach victory to you. Amen. Effectively. Amen. So I go through trials and I go through tests and I go through setbacks and I go through sicknesses and I go through, you know, sprains and back problems and all these different spider bites. The most recent was a spider bite. Amen. It's amazing. My car used to sit in a special place at the Holy Church of God. Amen. So other people get the good spots. I went around back. You know, usually see the pastor's reserved place right up near a side door. We can get his umbrella, get inside, get out, go home. Well, mine was beside the dumpster behind the church under the big old oak tree. That's... Amen. I'm going to be great. I know I am, because I was the servant. I humbled myself under the mighty hand of God. And I always pulled next to the dumpster. No one wanted to park back there, so I always had a space and no one had to mark it off for me. You know why? Because people fished in that river, caught the fish, cleaned them, and guess where they put the fish heads and guts? In the hot summertime, in our dumpster. They didn't want them stinking up their house or garbage cans. They stuck them in our dumpster. And it was always a bunch of flies and this terrible odor. But I was parked back there one night, and a terrible thunderstorm came through, and a limb came out of that big oak tree. Guess where the limb fell? Of all the cars out there, it fell on my car. Hallelujah. Now, you know what Job's comforters would have told me, don't you? All right, Pastor. What is it? What's wrong in your life? Well, you don't have to have anything wrong for problems to come in your life. You know what God did through that? Number one, amen, it did crush in the top of my car. It crushed the whole top of my car. It's a huge limb. I came out, and I don't know who came in and told me with a big smile, Pastor, there's a limb on your car. They were so happy it was my car and not their car. They were actually smiling while they told me about that. Amen. And it was mashed, literally mashed, squashed in flat. They couldn't fix it. They had to cut the top of my car off. They had to order another top for it and re-weld it and sand it to where it looked like it never had anything done to it, because I still had collision on it. Thank God I had collision on it. Praise God. Amen. And then because it looked so new after they painted it and the rest of my car didn't match, they had to paint my whole car for nothing. So I got the new roof. I got my car painted for free. Amen. Because I didn't stand out there and shake my fist at heaven and say, Lord, why did you let it fall on my car? Amen. I really did give him thanks. I honestly was practicing what I preached. And God came through. Did I like it? No. Was I happy about it? Not really. Was I thankful that it was just my car crushed and not me or my wife? Oh, yeah. It's always something to give God thanks for. Can you say, man, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know something? The Bible said if we would order our conversation aright and praise Him anyhow, amen, He would show us the salvation or the deliverance of God. So I got, my car was better after it was over. It didn't bend the frame. It didn't cause me any more problems. I got a new paint job out of it. They fixed it back better than it was before the limb fell on it. That's what I love about God. When things that you trust Him with turn out better than it was before you took the hit in your life. He's able to do that. He will do that. He wants to do that. Amen? So that's what this great psalm is all about. It's a prayer for blessing that the name of the Lord might be honored and recognized and revered. It is not a selfish prayer just so I or you can be conveniently blessed. It is a prayer for blessing. Amen. So other people will recognize that it really makes a difference if you have a God who fathers you. Amen. Can you say amen? Well, listen to it. God be merciful unto us. Psalm 67, 1 through 7. God be merciful unto us and bless us. It's appropriate to pray for God's blessing. But it's not enough just to pray for it. Amen. You have to qualify for that blessing. And the qualification for His blessing hinges on obedience and reverence unto Him. Listen to this. And cause His face to shine upon us. Salah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Israel was an example of God's saving health. They had a history of God intervening in their national history. Can you say amen? In their covenant life, they lived a life, amen, marked down through the generations by God, supernaturally providing and supernaturally protecting them. Amen? Having a God in heaven marks you, it separates you, it sanctifies you, it places you in a place different from the world about you. The Bible said everybody in the world that we live in, this fallen world, are without God and without hope. But every one of us, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have what? Hope. And hope in the Scripture is glad anticipation of future good. And David said in Psalm 27, 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see that blessing. Amen. The goodness of God. Where? In the land of the living. If you ask for healing tonight, you're asking God to favor you and bless you. It's all part of His blessing. What a blessing it was when Jesus went into the temple and a woman came in that Satan had bound and He set her free. What a blessing she received from the Lord. Can you say amen? Healing is a blessing. Deliverance is a blessing from the Lord. Amen. God providing for you materially is a blessing. Spiritually, it's a blessing. Everywhere you turn, God is involved in the blessing of His people and sanctifying His great name through the blessing of His people. Amen. Amen? So there is a prosperity here that's true, but it's based on bowing to Him and allowing Him to be the Lord of your life and putting the kingdom first in your life and repenting of your sin. It's not just something you stand on and get by faith. It's something you get initially by His favor. Everybody say His favor. When a man's ways do what? Please the Lord. He's even able to cause His enemies to be at peace with Him. That doesn't mean they're going to say, well, God is with him, I'm going to throw in with him too. No, it means if God is with him, I can't fight him and win, so I'm going to have to come to terms with that person. Can you say amen? It's kind of like that patriotic flag that says walk softly but carry a big stick. One of the states, I forget which state, Theodore Roosevelt said that. That was his saying. There was a state I was thinking of that had the snake and said, don't tread on me. I think that was a state flag. But Theodore Roosevelt, you're right, said walk softly, carry a big stick. Well, we walk softly and have a big God. We don't need a big stick. Can you say amen? I said, when you got a big God, you don't need a big stick. My wife was in, we're living in these days of such trouble and perilous times and people getting robbed and shot and killed just doing your normal daily activities. Don't have to be doing nothing wrong in no bad part of town. It can happen to anybody, anywhere. Amen. And so my wife was in a Walmart and there's this 80-something-year-old man that a lady from the church years ago that we all know, well, it was Sister White. She remarried, and she remarried this guy in his 80s and he's 80-something years young, and she was purchasing something he wanted her to get at the grocery store, at Walmart. You know what it was? It was a Louisville Slugger. Yeah, that's a bat. And it's not because the 80-something-year-old man is going to go out and play baseball. It's because of all the crime. He wants behind his seat a Louisville Slugger. In other words, the man is carrying a big stick. Problem is, a man with a 9mm, the big stick won't do you no good. A big God is going to have to step down and shield you. Can you say, man? I'm not saying now go out and get a 9mm. I'm saying let's get our faith in a God who promised to bless us, provide for us. Amen. And Sean, just put the gun up. Put it up right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Put the gun up. Okay, I'm just kidding. You got a motorcycle. Stop while you're ahead. We didn't even want you to have that. Amen. We're praying for special mercy over you. Hallelujah. I told my wife, I said, I need a motorcycle like Sean. She said, no, you don't. Hallelujah. Amen. We love you. We just don't want to lose anybody. We want you to go to heaven when God's ready, not when somebody runs a stoplight. Can you say amen? God is so good and he's so gracious tonight. Let me tell you this. I don't want to buy in to this just what can the Lord do for me. But I don't want to buy out of the fact that I am a child of the Most High God. I cry, Abba, Father, to a God who wants to be a father unto me. And that means he wants to protect me and provide for me. And I want to be representative of that Father God that Wegman was a father over national Israel and every person that claimed his covenant and walked upright before him. He literally marked them by blessing. So that the nations about them watching God move in the personal lives and the political life and all of the different aspects of Israel, amen, in the nation, they said, who has a God like their God? A God so nigh them in all that they call upon him for. He responds to them. He's in covenant with them. He sends angels to deliver them. He supernaturally intervenes when they cry unto him. Who can withstand them as long as he is their God and his blessing is on his people? There's a king that wanted to destroy them. So he hired a prophet. He said, listen, let me get the prophet to prophesy against them and it will turn God against them. Now that's foolish thinking, but that's what the man thought. If I can, and the prophet thinks, hey, if I get enough gold and silver, we got prophets today that have been bought off with gold and silver. Preacher, brother, come on. Amen. Come on. So Balaam says, pay me, I'll prophesy against them. The guy paid him, the king paid him. And he went out and began to prophesy. But when he began, because he was truly anointed, when he began to prophesy, he's compromised, but when he began to try to prophesy a curse, the only thing that would come out of his mouth was blessing. Amen. That's right. And when he was going, determined to go on, remember the story of the donkey and the angel with a sword saying, you can't curse what God has blessed. I don't want to have to take you out, but if I have to take you out, I'll take you out. Amen. And the donkey says, whoa, if you want to kill yourself, fine, but don't bring me into this. I ain't going no further. Amen. Amen. I see the angel of the Lord with the sword and drone. I'm not going any further. Listen, God sends angels. Whatever it takes, God will do it. God, listen, Jesus is the commander in chief of heaven's armies. You didn't hear me. I said, Jesus is, amen, the commander in chief of heaven's armies. According to the word of God, he's the captain of the Lord's host. Can you say amen? He was manifest in the Old Testament before he was incarnate in the New Testament. Wow. Hallelujah. And all of this power was because of a covenant with a people that were marked by his blessing. That's why he wants us to live in victory. He wants to help us pay our bills. Thank God for that. He's not necessarily interested. There will be some people I believe he will make rich. They told me that the man who began the Caterpillar organization started tithing and giving to the Lord. It wasn't just a tithe thing. It was just a generous thing. He wanted to bless the Lord. He found out about it. He gave a tenth, and then he gave a 20th, and then he gave a 30th, and he ended up giving 90% to the Lord of his income. And God expanded, exploded the company, and he became super rich man. Welsh came back. Welsh is grape juice. He tried to go do mission work. He was so concerned about the lost on foreign fields, but he and his wife went over. His wife got deathly sick. He had to ascertain that because he had to come back home, he had to ascertain maybe this isn't God's perfect will for me, but maybe if I can find a way to support missions, I can do it that way. I can give to missions. And Mr. Welsh said, you know, at communions all over the place, they need a beverage. And he started bottling grape juice, amen. And it caught on as a drink, not only just for communion, but as a drink, amen. And after a while, the Welsh's dynasty was born. God blessed him, amen. But this idea that God's going to do that for every single person who gives to any good need or any ministry is baloney. It's phony. The blessing of the Lord is far more than just making you opulent. In fact, the Bible said his blessing, the promise of his presence through Jesus Christ, is such a blessing that the fact that he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you should be something so wonderful in your life that having food and raiment and that promise from him, hallelujah, and being able to share fellowship with him, we should be content. Amen. Be content with such things as you have because why? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. If you got my presence and you got a full belly and you got my presence, you got clothes. Amen. You got my presence, you got a roof over your head. You should be of all people on this earth. That means you're saved if he's with you. He can fellowship with you. He can legitimately receive you into his royal family, father you and call you his child. Can you say amen? Bill Gates don't have that. Bill Gates has $58 billion. I remember when it was a mere $38 billion. His personal wealth is more than the national income of many countries in the world. And when asked about religion, what is his personal view or personal faith? He said, in terms of the sheer allocation of time, I do not have time for religion. One of these days, Bill Gates will draw his last breath. Time will stop for him. Money will be nothing when he draws his last breath. But we who know Christ as our Savior, in the poorest situation, when we draw our last breath, it really begins. The last breath here means the next breath is there. And that breath is going to be forever. Age without end. Can you say amen? When you breathe out here, you're not going to suffocate. Your spirit's going to go out with that pneuma, with that breath. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. The next breath you take will be eternal celestial air and eternal life. Wow. Incredible. So who are the true wealthy of this world, regal of this world? It's those who he's made his face to shine upon. He accepts us in the beloved. The blood of Jesus has taken that gap between us and him away so that we can come behind the veil, worship him, serve him, fellowship with him. He had said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Just to be able to lay down in fearful times without fear. What a blessing! A blessing that can't be bought with silver or gold. It's not enough of it to buy peace. So what a blessing peace is. Amen? And verse 3 says, let thy people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When what happens? When he blesses us. They'll see it. The Bible said the humble will hear of it. The humble meaning those crushed by life's pressures and problems. They'll hear of it and be glad. You know what gladdens their heart? That means there's hope for them. Amen. If someone has a testimony of what God brought you through, it is a hope-giving testimony to someone going through it. It means if God did it for him, God can do it for somebody else. I used to love that song, It Is No Secret, what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Amen. God wants that message out. God wants a people to be marked. Listen, I don't pursue the blessing. I pursue the Lord. But when I pursue the Lord, amen, he promises if I'll separate myself. And I want to read it. I know I read it a lot. I say it a lot. One of the most used scriptures that I use. But it's an important verse of scripture. Listen to it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This note. Also that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. God wants his people to be sanctified. Amen. Holy, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll what? Receive you. This is New Testament. This is not Old Testament covenant stuff. New Testament, blood covenant stuff. He still requires that we be separate unto him as his children so that he can father us. Amen? Everyone loves the great shepherd psalm. Everyone loves Psalm 23. Everyone loves the sentiment and the thought and the truth of it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because he leadeth me. But let me tell you something. God can't leadeth you unless you followeth him. Oh, listen to me tonight. God can't leadeth you until you become humble like a sheep and admit, I don't have it and I don't know and I'm not going to go my way. I'll follow my shepherd. I have a message for pastors if I'm ever invited to a pastor. I was invited, Brother Spain, to come and minister Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at his church because he's pastoring now. Pray for him, pray for him, pray hard for Brother Spain. Amen. He's finding out for himself. But anyway, and then because he used to hit this run, you know, he hits and runs, and now he has to stay and live with it. Anyway, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. And he wanted me to come and preach on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday before coming back home. He wanted to get the ministers that he knows and affiliates with in the city to come together and wanted me to minister to the ministers. Well, I was honored by that. I really was that he would, I mean, just ministering to his folks is an honor in itself, but that he would want me to minister to some ministers was a real honor. Amen. Because I believe I have a perspective about pastors and preachers that is as important for other pastors and preachers. Amen. The Bible, Jesus is and always will be the chief shepherd of the flock. Amen. But pastors have a role to play, and we are shepherds in a sense under him, but not shepherds in the sense of not being sheep. That's right. Hello? When you become a shepherd as a pastor, you don't quit being a sheep. You become more of a sheep as a shepherd than you were when you were just a sheep.
Amen.
Oh, I don't think you're hearing me. It's going to be a good meeting if we can get them all together and I can ever get up there. Praise God. I'm looking forward to January. I'll be 62, free at last, free at last. Thank God in heaven, I'll be free at last. Amen. Free from certain restrictions because I have more levity here and to do other things for God because I won't be tied to the grind. I'll have a little bit of an income from Uncle Sam, who's so generous. That he blesses geezers. Hallelujah. So thank the Lord for that. Amen. I paid it in. I want it back. It's not actually doing me a favor. It's mine. Anyway, God, this is not dependent on him. This is getting back what a lifetime of work and service and sending it in. But God is good and gracious. Let me tell you what the ideal is here, because this is all tied to obedience. Everything in here is tied to obedience. There's nothing. There's no blessing that isn't tied to obedience. There's nothing you can just claim by faith without an act of obedience.
Right.
Not a scripture that stands alone is just a faith formula. Everything, and I mean everything, is tied to obedience. If you order your conversation aright, if you obey what God has told you to do. If I say what the Lord say. If I say what the Lord say. If I say what the Lord say. Everything will be all right. And what's the next verse? If I do what the Lord say do. Come on, teach a song. Amen. Come on, you should know this song. Amen. Hallelujah. If I do what the Lord say do. If I do what the Lord say do. Everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Why? Because every blessing is tied to obedience. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. You can't legitimately use your faith until you bow to him as the Lord of your life in obedience. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody give him praise tonight. He don't want your money. He wants your heart. To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't want your money. I want your life. When he has your life, he has the whole of you. He has all of you. Offer your body, the sum of all you are, and have a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. Amen. This man shall be blessed in his deed, this doer, this obedient servant, this not sinless perfection, this obedient heart. No one can carry it out perfectly. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for you to bow to him. And when you miss it, to tell him so. And to get up and shake the dust off of you and get forgiven and go on. And say, God, strengthen me to overcome and walk in victory because I have a heart to obey you. Amen. Not one scripture. I hear so much teaching on faith and faith formulas and so little teaching on the Lordship of Jesus and even the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Without the Lordship of Jesus, there is no such thing as being led of the Spirit.
Amen.
Faith begins with bowing, not believing. Believing is secondary to bowing. Our Father which art in heaven, I'm standing upon the word, believing you and confessing that it's true. No, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And to show how deep the devotion is, your will is subservient to his before you even pray for anything else.
Right.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We even got chastised by some of these crazy preachers. Amen. For saying, if it be thy will about anything. Amen. And yet Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. That means Jesus needed their tapes. I don't think so. Can you say amen? I really don't think so. I read Philip Keller's book about sheep and shepherds, and in order for God to be a shepherd to you, you've got to be a follower of him. We need more followers of Jesus, not just generic Christians today. Real followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because everything is hinging and tied to obedience. When Israel obeyed him, amen, his blessing became evident upon them. When they disobeyed, they lost ground to their enemies. Their enemies consumed them. They took the ark out to battle with disobedient hearts, letting strange fire being offered in the temple. In other words, worshiping God on our own terms and not his prescribed way. Amen. Not taking the holy things seriously, not reverencing him, not obeying him. Amen. Eli's sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And there doesn't seem to be any messengers out here with a message to restrain anyone. Amen. There's nothing that says this is sin and this is wrong, and if we do it, we're going to bring ourselves under God's displeasure. So we've got a generation of Christians that don't know how to bow, but are being taught constantly how to believe. It doesn't start with believing. It starts with bowing. And after we bow and acquiesce to his will, then we say, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Then we petition for our personal needs. And God listens, but he says, you bow first, then you believe. Can you say amen? It starts with bowing. Bowing puts you in a position of obedience. And to obey is better and sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen to God with the intent to obey, is better than the fat of rams. There's no offering that takes the place of a heart that's willing to obey. Amen? Hallelujah. And if we would just look at the Bible in the volume of the book, why was he so well pleased with Jesus? He's his beloved son. He's what he wanted every man to be like. And he said of him, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And Jesus said, the works I do are not mine, but what I see my Father do. The words are not mine, but what I hear my Father say. And he said, I must finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due season. It doesn't even start then with faith. It starts with humbling yourself under his hand. It's all about bowing. It's about obedience. Philip Keller raised sheep for a big portion of his life, and he wrote a book about commentaries on the 23rd Psalm. And one of the things that all shepherds would do, they would have one sheep that really followed the shepherd very, very close. And in many cultures, they would tie a bell around that sheep's neck, and they would title the sheep a bell sheep. That sheep was very obedient to follow the shepherd. And the other sheep would hear the clanging of the bell, and they would follow the shepherd by following the bell sheep who was following the shepherd. Paul literally said, in so many words, in a culture that understood that concept, that ancient land, and in that place where so many sheep were raised, where people saw them being herded. And you know what he said? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say amen? He said, listen, to be a Christian leader in those days, you had to be a very sensitive, meek, humble servant of Jesus Christ. Not just a gifted speaker, not just an anointed preacher, but a humble, meek follower of Jesus Christ. See, we don't care if people are humble or meek anymore. We do not really check out to see how closely they're following Christ. Example. All we're looking at is their gifts, their anointings, their so-called power, whether it is or not. I can't figure it all out, but I know one thing. I know a bell sheep follows the shepherd. Jesus said, you that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in spirit. That's what allows for obedience. And you'll find what for your soul? The tension between you and God. Not the tension between you and the devil, you and the world, you and the flesh, but the tension between you and God. The devil is an enemy that can be whipped when you submit yourself to God and resist him. It's different. It's not resisting him because of your great faith. It's bowing to God and God taking your part in the battle. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Everybody say, meek and humble. Meek and And what will happen when you resist the devil from that standpoint of submission to God? He'll flee from you. Why? Because God rises up. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. That was the very statement they made when they put the poles through the rings in that ark, and those priests lifted that ark up. When they picked it upright from its table it sat upon to move it, when they picked it up, they said, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. We have a God in Israel. He will fight for us. Let them be driven away like smoke by a wind." Can you say amen? Hallelujah! America desperately needs God's blessing upon her. Whether you realize it or not, you need it too. That's what marks you. It's his. Hello? Joseph gets God's favor. His smile upon him. What happens? His brothers get jealous of him, throw him in a pit. Does that stop God's blessing? No, it looked like it's over, but it wasn't over. Amen? They all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. The water that came out of that rock to supernaturally provide went up the hill, down the hill, around the bend. When they camped at night, it found them. Can you say amen? Wherever they went, it found them. They didn't have to look for water. The water was commanded to follow them. You didn't hear me. Jesus said they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The Bible teaches that. Can you say amen? Wherever they went, it followed them. God commanded the blessing. He commanded the blessing on a meal barrel, and the meal barrel would not run empty no matter how much you dipped out. It was a commanded blessing. When God commands a blessing, it doesn't matter about the economy, the Dow Jones, the price of gasoline. When God commands a blessing, it's going to take place. It will find you. In fact, these blessings will come on you and overtake you, and it marks you as a child of God. Doesn't it? Can you imagine Israel without a blesser? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, and forget not all of his benefits or blessings, who forgives all my iniquities. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Heals all my diseases. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Renews my youth. Restores me and renews my youth like the eagles. What a blessing. Satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel extraordinarily blessed tonight. I have his presence. I don't have to show you my bank account. It has nothing to do with that. I have enough to pay my bills this month. Hallelujah. And with the help and grace of God, I'll have enough to pay them next month. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I have him who said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And having food and raiment and this promise and this relationship that allows him to keep that promise through the blood of Jesus, accepted in the Beloved, to have God as our Father. Amen. Be content. For godliness with contentment is great gain. The real riches, the real blessing is not the person with a bunch afraid of losing it or believing that death is going to cancel it all, but someone knows that what I have, amen, is from God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It won't stop me being blessed. Amen. Joseph. Didn't the blessing find Joseph? Yeah. Amen. He didn't realize it at the time, but the blessing was going to follow him. They put him in a pit. The Bible spoke of cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And when a cistern that they had made a clay bottom in, when there was a drought and the sun came out and the clay bottom cracked, it was useless as a cistern. And that's probably what the scholars believe. They threw Joseph in one of those broken cisterns, down in that pit that he couldn't claw out of. And then they felt guilt-ridden. You know, and they thought, let's try to get some of the guilt off of us, or some of the blood guiltiness, you know. I don't think they had much of a conscience, but they didn't want the blood guilt. They didn't want God to judge him for it. So they said, let's don't kill the boy. Let's sell him into slavery. We can make a little profit on him. He'll still be alive. We won't be murderers. And that's what he gets for being God's servant. Can you say amen? And having God's favor. So they pull him out. They sell him into slavery. He ends up at Potiphar's house as a slave. But the blessing finds him. And the blessing marks him. And Potiphar doesn't know he's God, but he recognizes something about him. There's something about him. He's gifted somehow. And I don't mean in the natural, but there's something different about him. I'm going to put him in charge of all my affairs. The boy's got something. Potiphar's wife, jealous, not jealous, but the devil always wants to take the blessing, get us to compromise. And Potiphar's wife, she's very forthright. She says, lay with me. And he says, no, I won't sin against my master. I won't sin against God, my God. And she is forceful, and finally she grabs his cloak and pulls him. He lets her pull his cloak off, and he runs away. And she, out of being spurned, falsely accuses him of sexual assault. He's arrested, charged, and jailed. But I believe that Potiphar knew something. I don't think this was the first time that something like that had happened. I honestly don't, because he didn't seem to push it in the scripture. Amen. They did put him in jail, and a guy made a deal with him to help him in there and broke his deal. Have you ever had anybody let you down? And yeah, we all have. We've been there, but it won't stop the blessing. Get this through your head. Get it deep into your heart. They can't stop God's blessing. Those that betray you can't stop His blessing. Those that let you down can't stop His blessing. Those that sell you out can't stop His blessing. Amen. That river that followed them. He commanded the blessing and it followed them. Can you say amen? If you hearken diligently unto the voice of your God to observe and to do all that I command you this day, these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Amen. When that rock was commanded to give water, it gave water and the water kept flowing. And as they journeyed, the water followed them. How do you know? Because the Bible said they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Can you say amen? Up the hill, down the hill, around the bend, it followed them because it was under divine command of God. Amen. God commandeth the blessing on the meal barrel, and the meal barrel didn't run empty. It took the supernatural. God is supernatural. Amen. We have a legacy in America. America's great because of God's blessing. Someone said America's great because she was good in the eyes of God. And when she ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. Every nation that became great fell from within. Sometimes an enemy without came along and overcame them, but ultimately it began, the erosion began within. And that's historically proven. We're no different. We're not exempt from God's justice. We need His mercy. And we need revival in the church so we can have revival in the world. Can you say amen? It starts with us. Hallelujah. I want to be marked. I do want the people where I work to know that my God sits upon the throne. That He does, in fact, listen when I pray. I want them to know that He cares for me and that I'm content with His care. Can you say amen? And that I'm fulfilled in Jesus Christ and having food and raiment. I am so happy, hallelujah, in what God has done for me. I've been to too many hospitals, been to too many funerals where people died prematurely, seen too many people suffering with too many debilitating diseases, not to be happy to have a body that can work. Some people are sad to go to work. I'm happy to have a body that can still work. Amen? And I got one that'll function. Oh, it aches and pains me sometimes. Snap, crackle, and pops like breakfast cereal when I get up in the morning. And you say, amen. But God has been good to your preacher. Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord really is your strength. Praise God. Do you understand the difference in going after stuff for the sake of self-fulfillment and saying, God, I want your blessing. I want to be blessed. And I don't mean opulent. I mean blessed. Blessed is when you're happy with what you have and you have what you need. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. How many know that a Timex and a Rolex both keep the time? I'm happy. I don't know what this is. In fact, I forgot my watch. But I got a clock right here. I read in a magazine. I was sitting in some place waiting. I don't know where it was, but they had all these magazines. It's a dentist, in fact. And I opened it up, and it was telling you to be considered successful, you need to. There's certain brands that you need to be wearing. And this is a marketing scheme. I mean, there's certain shoes that say, when people say Italian leather, okay? Amen, that costs $500 a pair. When you walk in somewhere to get a job and you're wearing that, and you're, you know, I'm talking about corporate stuff, you know, and you walk in, they say, that guy has arrived. Look at that. Amen. And when someone wears a Rolex, then they're saying, I told you about the guy. Where didn't I tell you about him? Oh, he was a trip. Yeah, he got me straight tripping. Every time I was around him, I just break up. Because he had acquired, I know he wasn't too rich, because you know why? Because he works where I work. But somehow or another, he had acquired a Rolex. His wife worked too, I guess they saved up. And one, anyway, he had a Rolex watch. Now, Rolexes, I see them used for mere $25,000, $30,000, you know. And some of them are cheaper, but some of the higher end. But anyway, he had a Rolex. And he told me, he says, you know, I do have a Rolex, but I save it for Sunday when I go to church. I said, you got a Rolex, man? He said, where'd you get that thing? He said, I got me a Rolex. He said, I got a picture of that Rolex. Would you like to see it? And I thought, well, not really, but, you know, I'm going to make the man feel good. You know, if you want to show me your Rolex. He didn't say, I know he's a grandpa because he's about as old as me, but, you know, if he had any kids, I don't think he had a picture of his grandchildren. But he didn't mention them. But honestly, I'm telling you the truth. It was so funny. He's a trip. He'd come the next day, and he had a 5x7. Amen. And he'd come up, and he says, look at this. And it was one of those Olin Mills posed pictures. And here he had on a sport coat. He had a red sport coat, black slacks, and I forget what kind of tie, and a white shirt. And he had his foot up like this. Now, you catch it. Fact is, I'm going to demonstrate this. You can't see this if you hear the tape. But this really got me. Amen. You talk about status symbols. We live in a world that don't care nothing about substance. It's all the outward appearance. Amen. That what says, what is it that says you have arrived? The car you drive, the clothes you wear, the church you go to, the club you join. Amen. All of that stuff means nothing to God. Man looks on what? The outside. Where does God look? On the inside. God wants to do something on the inside. And he said, if you get it right on the inside, I'll take care of what you need on the outside. And you don't need what everybody says you need. You need food and raiment and a relationship with me that is right, so I can do the supernatural in your life when you need it. And that's something Bill Gates can't buy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But this was so funny to me. And I forgot my watch. It works better with my watch. But he was like this. But he had this sleeve up like that, which made it look a little weird. And he had this sleeve up like that, so that everyone, he wanted everybody to see. He wanted a close-up of the watch. And I thought, that is crazy. I mean, it's okay to have the watch, but if you're so insecure, so feeling like you've got to make an impression, that you've got to show people that you have a Rolex. And the world looks at some of us, and they wrote a song, an old country song, about would Jesus wear a Rolex if he came today? Because so many people at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, amen, in the summertime, women were wearing furs. That was back before furs were out, you know. And people are saying, why is that lady wearing a mink and it's 80 degrees? Well, why would you wear a mink and it's 80 degrees? Amen? In order to say, hey, look at me. Probably going to sing, hide me behind the cross before the night's over. Can you say amen? Honey, they can't hide that hair behind the cross. What are we trying to get people's attention to us for when we're supposed to be decreasing so he can increase? I wear a suit and a tie, and when I walk in here, I forget all about that thing. Amen. I don't want you saying, wow, isn't that a great suit? I mean, you know, it'd be all right if you said it fits you nice or something. I don't care about it. Listen, what difference does it make where I got my suit, where I bought my tie, what kind of car I'm driving? I mean, God is providing for me, and yes, my life is, one of the things that I'm so blessed with is being happy with what I have. Did you know it's a blessing? Did you know it's a blessing if you got Jesus and you're happy with what you have and you're happy in Him? You're head and shoulders above so many people that's got Jesus and got more than you got, but still ain't happy.
Amen.
I have something called godliness with contentment. And the Bible says that makes me a very rich man. It's great gain. In fact, you want to hear the whole scripture? We brought nothing into this world, and we can't take nothing out of this world, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Can you say, man? You got God. That means if you need the supernatural, God will come through in your life. You have a covenant. You have a prayer answering God. In fact, you have a Father in heaven. Hallelujah. And you are His sons and His daughters in particular. Wow. Every time I'm healed, I got something that Blue Cross Blue Shield couldn't buy with all of the best insurance programs. Can you say, man? Every time God heals me, it's something. When I got healed of cancer, the doctor couldn't heal leukemia in me. They try. Sometimes they're successful. Most of the times they fail. But God did it. And He did it so well that here I am all these years later, walking in health and doing what every time I give my testimony? Bringing glory to Him. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Woo! We can't be popular with the world and be blessed by God. From such turn away. We cannot be politically correct and be right with God. We must take a stand. We can't serve two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon. Doesn't mean God isn't going to bless us materially and that we don't need to be materially blessed. It means that we shouldn't be going after riches for the sake of riches and what they can do. We don't need the Italian leather to say, I have arrived. We don't need an Armani suit to say, I have arrived. Can you say amen? You don't need a Rolex. If you get one, it's okay. I believe you could actually be a Christian with a Rolex. But if you are holding the Rolex up instead of lifting Jesus up, you got the wrong value system. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? And we look at these people and we think because they became rich and proud. And listen, they that would be rich, they that are going after, you know what the Bible said about they that would be rich? Riches is the goal of their faith, their life. They that would be rich fall into many hurtful sins and deceitful sins and hurtful, deceitful snares, hurtful sins. And aren't they falling into it? Aren't they falling into it? Aren't they falling into it? Right now the gospel is being questioned. The motive of the gospel is being questioned because of spiritual leaders that are not bell sheep. They're not following with meek, humble hearts. They're following in proud and arrogance. They'll tell you flat out, you can be poor if you want to. I ain't going to be poor. Bless God, I'm going to walk in my blessing. You can buy my tapes and listen to me, or you can live like you live. But I'm going to live the high life. Heard a man say the other day, you bet you it's name it, claim it. I named it, I claimed it, and I got it, bless God. And I thought, boy, that's about as meek as you can get. Huh? That's strutting your stuff, darling. And when you get God's blessing, you get it through humility. So even when you get blessed, you don't strut your stuff. You bow and you thank Him from a humble heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. And you'll find what rests for your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him glory tonight. Godliness with contentment is still great gain. And the Bible literally said if He can't trust you with money and the natural things and the material things, how can He trust you with the true riches? How can He trust a man that he would leave all of that behind and sell it all and go to a mission field and live and eat what they eat and live in those conditions just to tell somebody about Christ? None of these great gifted ones ever do anything like that. Ever. I'm not going to sacrifice anything. Hello? A bell sheep is someone who follows the shepherd so closely, committedly, that he hangs a bell around that sheep's neck. And the other sheep, by the ringing of that bell, follow the shepherd. And Paul said, that's exactly what I am. I'm a sheep following Jesus. And that's what qualifies me to be an apostle and a shepherd. I'm meek and I'm lowly in spirit. And when he says go, I go. Hallelujah. And when that bell's ringing, the other sheep follow the sheep with the bell who's following the shepherd so close. And that's how he leads. Hallelujah. What a difference in what we're seeing today. Proud, arrogant, even rude, self-confident, self-sufficient. Paul said, do I look at us as we're something great? Our sufficiency's of the Lord. Without Him, we're nothing. Can you say, man? He said, you know our conversation among you, how we coveted no man's gold or apparel. He said, I wish that I could be accursed myself that you might come to know Christ. If my cursing could bring blessing on you, I would accept the curse that you might be blessed. In other words, I'll lay down my life for the brethren. I will lay down. If my life's blood will save anybody, I'm willing to give it here on the spot. But it's the blood of Jesus that saves. But he did lay down his life. They all, in one form or another, laid down their life. They did not become the opulent of this world. Amen. They were the offscouring of the world. Not one of them lived in palatial beauty. Not one of the followers of Christ. Not one. Anybody got a Bible? Does anybody ever read it? Do you ever turn off the television, click the tape on pause, and pick up the book and see what your master is like? Not what they've tried to make him, but what he is. Here I am preaching blessing, and what I'm telling you is the blessing of the Lord is understanding the true riches, is having Christ and His promise and the supernatural available to you, and what kind of suit you wear is immaterial, literally. He dresses me just fine. I don't feel bad anywhere I'm at. And no alligator had to die for my shoes to be on my feet. Can you say amen? Even the pet people is okay with me. No, there no alligator had to die. And when you see my picture, if I do that, it ain't so you can see my watch. God has always given me a vehicle that would get me where I need to go. I've always been happy with it. Thank you, Jesus. I've had old cars that wouldn't get me where I need to go. When I first got married, I had a car, and it had a problem that I would drive almost to Temple Terrace to go to work from Brandon. I think we were living in Sefner, somewhere in there. But I would drive all the way to Temple Terrace to go to work at a grocery store. And I would get within about 2 miles of work, 2 to 3 miles, 4 miles, I don't know. You know, it was close to me after driving. And in the heat of the day, something would get hot in that car. Don't know what got hot, but it got hot enough that I would get to this particular spot, and just as sure as I'm within a radius of 100 feet of that spot, it would quit, and it would not crank back up. And so I'd pull it over to the side, way off the road, get out, start walking, sometimes hitchhike, and somebody pick me up. Back in those days, they'd pick you up, take me to work. I'd work all day long, hitch a ride back that night, amen, or walk part of the way, hitch the rest of the way, get back to my car. It had cooled down at night. I'd crank it up, and I'd drive home with it. And I didn't have the money to get it fixed. So that I thought, well, I can get within 2 or 3 miles of work. That's good. I leave early. It's not a long walk. It's going to crank when I get off from work if I could just get back to that sucker. Can you say amen? And I don't know how many months I did that before I found out it was a coil. Back in the days they had coils, I needed a coil rip. When I got the money, we replaced it. It drove for a while. But you know, I got to the point that things blessed me. A car that didn't stop 3 miles from the job became a blessing to me. I got to where I could appreciate things. Yeah. Can you say amen? Being real Poe makes you appreciate stuff really good. Can you say amen? I wasn't born with no silver spoon in my mouth. Amen. When I was in the second grade, a young man came home and asked his mama, could he spend the night with me so we could play all day Saturday? My mama said, sure, he can come. He'd come over. You know, it got dark and everything, and we lived in a little old trailer, and he was walking up and down, you know, like this. He's walking up and down, and he says, Bobby. I said, what? He said, where's the bathroom? I said, it's out there. We had a Jim Walter home that hadn't been finished yet. You buy it prefab, and we were going to finish the interior. They sit it on the lot. There was no bathroom, but there was a two-seater, and I was so proud of it because I thought, if you got a two-seater, you got the Cadillac of outhouses. Now, I will say this. I've never seen any two people in there at any time. Amen. And we were a family. We were not that close. We took turns. But in the event of an extreme emergency and someone was in there and you just had to get in, and we all know what that's like, there was another seat, and I was so proud that I had an outhouse. My parents had an outhouse with two seats. Amen. And talk about blessing. Talk about blessing. Indoor plumbing was a blessing to me. To people who've had it all their life, it's no big deal. But if you know what it's like not to have it, and suddenly you have it, you say, boy, I'm blessed. You see, there's a pastor that's going to get on a new Schwinn bicycle that a mission organization bought for him and shipped to him in the outback of South Africa somewhere. And he's going to ride it 5 miles, amen, to a group of people that he's going to preach to. He's a national minister, and he's going to be telling them, oh, look what the Lord has done for me. I used to have to walk 5 miles, and I was so tired, and I had to get up so early to get to the service, but God gave me this brand new Schwinn bicycle. And he gets on that old dirt road and goes riding down it, blessing God and praising his name for his blessing. Can you say amen? He's got something called godliness with contentment. He's got a grateful heart for what God has given him. He's given God all the glory and all the praise. We're sitting here, amen, blessed beyond what that man is. And sometimes thinking about what we don't have and don't even feel like worshiping in many churches. But I'm telling you something. He said, you're my child. You are my covenant child. The great mark of the blessing is godliness with contentment, which is great gain. Can you say amen? Yeah, if you're happy, you're head and shoulders above most Christians I know. Why aren't they happy? Because they still think there's something out there that they need to be fulfilled that would make them happy. And everything that we need is in here. Because it's in Him. Without Him, nothing means nothing. Lord may give me more someday than what I have. If He does and chooses to do that, that's fine. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. But I'm telling you, I'm rich tonight because I can lay my head down and sleep in peace. His yoke is on me. I took it. I bow to Him. There's no tension between me and God's will. He said, you'll find rest for your soul when you take my yoke. That's when your peace is going to reign in your life. Amen? When you take my yoke and learn of me. For I'm what? I'm meek and lowly in spirit. So Paul said, I'm meek and lowly in spirit. Amen? Follow me as I what? They don't even want to use the term as we close tonight, Christian, much anymore. Born again. A sports figure can come back from an injury and use the term. Someone who has had a lost love and a broken heart, felt like they'd never get over it, and has found a new love, and they even wrote a song about it, after meeting you, I'm born again. People use the term without any change in their life in the Christian community until Billy Graham said we need to change the terms because of the misuse and abuse of the terms that used to have great meaning and weight, and they've lost them. He said, if you're a Christian, maybe we should start saying I'm born from above. to signify that you're under God's jurisdiction now, not the devil's and not the world's and not the flesh. On Moody Radio recently, there was a prominent pastor and another pastor had conspired together to begin a movement to redefine what Christian means, because now Christians just getting your free ticket to heaven with no change in your life. You can be completely at home in the culture. And the Bible says, turn away. If I'm going to father you, you've got to be separate from the culture. Amen. Can you say, man, the true blessing of God, the real blessing of the Lord is upon those who are counterculture, not absorbed into it. And he said, Christian now. There's so many people say they're Christians when they are not followers of Jesus. Maybe we should change born again to born from above, and not only that, but change Christian to followers of Christ. When you say I'm a follower of Christ, you've got to live up to some standards. And I don't mean sinless perfection, but it does mean that your heart is set on following Him instead of them. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Christian should mean and is more perfectly defined as a follower of Christ. That's why Paul said, follow me as I what? Follow Christ. You know what we should demand out of Christian leadership? That the man or woman, not just the anointing, the gift, the ability to preach, gifted, eloquent. There are gifted people in other areas that just have the gift of gab. There are people that get a legitimate gift of the Spirit and we don't care about their character anymore. We don't even care much about their doctrine as long as they lay hands on us and we get a good goose. Pentecostalism has been notorious for following false prophets and false teachers and false doctrine. We have something to live down. Blessed wallets, glowing crosses. Who buys that junk? A blessed wallet. My Lord God in heaven. I got a blessed life. I don't need a blessed wallet. Some of you probably have some of that stuff at home. Well, I rest my case. I rest my case. What did it do for you? You need Him. You need to bow to Him. Can you say, man, don't buy something from them. We're getting ready to close tonight. Don't point at anybody else. It's getting hot enough in here with the air on. Amen. One guy that drives a Lamborghini. You know what bought him his Lamborghini? Stuff like this. You know what it was? Here's what it was. I remember Darth Vader glow-in-the-dark swords when Star Wars was big. My son wanted a glow-in-the-dark sword.